Because you can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolution.
Anarchistisches Radio auf Radio Orange. Jeden Sonntag von 20 bis 21 Uhr. Und zum Nachhören im Netz unter www.a-radio.net.
Because nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream.
Hallo und willkommen zur heutigen Sendung des Anarchistischen Radio Wien. Im Rahmen des Anarchistischen Radio strahlen wir heute einen Mitschnitt aus, der im Mai 2017 im EKH aufgenommen wurde. Es handelt sich um den Fall von Amir Al-Kawlani. Er wurde im April 2017 aus Polen in den Irak abgeschoben. Ihm wurde vorgeworfen, eine Gefahr für die öffentliche Sicherheit zu sein. Und das Ganze unter Zusammenarbeit unterschiedlicher Polizeibehörden, des Geheimdienstes bis zum Ministerium für interne Angelegenheiten. Gehalten wurde die Veranstaltung von einer Person der Initiative Solidarität mit Amir.
I'm from Poland and first I will talk more specifically about my friend Amir and then I will mention shortly other cases of repressions of Polish state against migrants and refugees. So Amir now is my friend. He comes from Iraq and he came to Poland in order to study. In 2014 he came to Krakow to study at the Jagiellonian University because he was convinced by his brother who studied in Poland before that it's a good country, like it's a good experience, so he decided to come to Poland. He got a scholarship from the Iraqi Ministry of Education and he started studying ecology and evolution. He finished his master's degree without a problem and in October 2016 he was supposed to start his PhD studies at the same university studying ecology and evolution. The holidays before the start of the academic year, when the Pope was going to visit Poland because of World Youth Days, maybe you heard about them, a big religious event, Amir was approached by Polish internal security agency. He was contacted by the agents by phone and they met him a few times personally and they were trying to convince him to basically work and spy for the agency. The agents were trying to convince him to spy on the Muslim and migrants communities in Poland, to go to mosques, to ask questions, to ask people questions about their income. They were asking him how to get a fake visa from Iraq to Poland, how much does Iraqi ambassador earn, what is his religion, what's the religion of other people working at the embassy, and so on and so on. Many questions like that. First, they were asking him about himself, and they told him that it's like a standard procedure regarding every foreigner in Poland, so he wasn't very suspicious because he thought it was something standard. But then they started asking him questions about other people and he refused to spy for them. He said that he came to Poland to study, that first of all he will not give them information about other people, he can only talk about himself and his family, which he did. To prove that he had nothing to hide, he gave the agents passwords to his laptop, to his phone, to his social media platforms. And he also said that he's an atheist, so a mosque is not the right place for him. And basically refused to work for them. They were trying to contact him a few times, like we have billings of the their phone calls and their texts that they were sending him. But the last time they called him was on the 29th of September, because they were checking if he was in Krakow. On the 3rd of October 2016, he was going to the university, and he was in the center of Krakow when he was stopped by the border guards. And they had pistols and all of that stuff. And he was captured by them. He was first taken to the airport when he went through medical examination, and he was shocked. He didn't know what that was about. So he was asking questions, but the guards told him that he will learn everything in court. Then he was taken to the court. He had a translator, Arabic translator, but still he got no information what was the problem. There was a commander of the border guard in the court as well, and it turned out that the head of the internal security agency requested for Amir to be deported, and he issued that request to the border guard, and the commander of the border guard issued a decision of deportation, and based on that he also applied for arrest, because when you get a decision to be deported, you have to be put in some facility for foreigners. It can be like a center for some kind of camp for foreigners, but the commander of border guard asked specifically for him to be arrested, because he argued that Amir wouldn't be able to follow the rules of the facility, so he needs to be in jail. And the judge, who didn't have any access to any kind of materials, agreed to put him in jail. The internal security agency argued that Amir could pose a threat to the security of Poland, and that was it. Like, there were no charges, no kind of evidence, everything was secret, and the materials were secret also to the judge, but anyway, she issued the decision to arrest him. According to the article number 6 of the Polish law on foreigners, the authorities departed from the justification, arguing that it's required for reasons of national defense or national safety or protection of public safety and order. In the justification of deportation, they noted that Amir could threaten the defense or state security or protection, security and public order, or the affairs of the Republic of Poland. And it's only the quotation of the law, some law on foreigners, without pointing out which could be an actual reason. So he was shocked, he didn't know what was the reason. Then he was taken to... he was arrested for 3 months, and then he was taken to the arrest in Chemyśl, which is the south east of Poland. A day after being arrested, I guess his translator gave him an advice that to avoid the deportation to Iraq, which is a country at war, as we know, he should apply for asylum in Poland. That would be the only way for him to avoid deportation, because during the asylum procedure, the deportation case should be suspended. The next day, which was the 5th of October, Amir was visited in jail by those agents who were trying to convince him to work for them, and they told him that it was his punishment for refusing to work for them, the fact that he was in jail, that he was stupid because he didn't want to take the opportunity, that they would do the same thing with his brother, who was studying in Germany at the time, and his other brother, who was studying in Krakow as well, and they were living in the same room at that time, that they would also arrest them and deport them because of the fact that he didn't agree to work for them. And they also told him that it was a huge mistake to apply for asylum, because the decision is under their control, and he will only spend 6 months in jail, because that's how long the asylum procedure usually takes, and then he will be deported anyway. In fact, the decision is owned by the Office for Foreigners, but they claim that they have the power over the Office for Foreigners anyway. Then his brother learned about the situation, and he managed to hire a lawyer. Amir had a week to appeal the arrest warrant and 2 weeks to appeal the deportation order. So the lawyer managed to appeal for him, but the authorities were supposed to give those documents to Amir as well, the documents translated to Arabic, so he could appeal, but they provided him with the arrest warrant translated into Arabic 4 days after the deadline to apply, to appeal, so they just didn't want him to appeal, so they gave it to him after the deadline. Then, a few weeks later, there was a hearing in the second instance court regarding the arrest appeal, and the judge said didn't have any materials in the case either. They were made confidential. The judge said that the first instance court had a right to issue the decision without any materials, that it's okay to issue a decision intuitively, like based only on intuition. So he had to stay in the arrest. Then throughout all those months we were organizing many solidarity actions, many protests, writing letters to all kind of authorities, writing letters to Amir, obviously, and so on and so on. I think altogether in Poland we organized almost 20 protests for him, and the case was like all over media, TV, newspapers, radio, and so on. Because I guess the hope was that if we make a lot of noise, that would stop them from deporting him. Also, I forgot to mention that if you get deported, it means that you are banned from entering the Schengen zone countries for 5 years, and they can prolong this ban for how long they want. So, yep, that Amir wasn't that afraid of being deported. The thing was that he wanted to continue his studies in Europe, and it would be impossible for him after the deportation and the ban to enter the Schengen zone. Also, Amir's lawyer was applying to all kinds of institutions, the border guards, the internal security agency, the Office for Foreigners, to get access to the confidential files, but each time they were refusing. So he never got an access to those files. Also, the Iraqi embassy in Warsaw applied to those institutions, organizations, but they never got any answer. Any answer. Not only like excuses or so on. No answer whatsoever. Also, during his stay in the arrest, Amir was presented with a bill by the border guards. They decided that he should pay for his stay in the arrest and that he should pay for his ticket back to Iraq. Altogether, like €1,500, something like that. They also took his computer and his phone. So he couldn't use them, obviously. He wanted to continue writing his PhD thesis, but they didn't give him access to his computer, and he didn't have a possibility to call his family, like to call anyone, and they didn't let him to call his family. So his family, other than his brothers, never learned about this case. His mom still doesn't know what was going on, because his brother didn't want to upset her, so they just didn't have any contact for months. Also, he had some people living with him in the arrest in his cell, like his friends from Ukraine, from Syria, from Egypt, from Pakistan, and all of them were deported throughout this time, and like a few Vietnamese guys were deported as well. And no one really heard about their stories, so like it's important to know that this happens a lot. And Amir's luck, I guess, in this situation was that he had friends who were activists and like started doing something in his case. But yeah, a lot of people were just deported and no one heard about them. On the 3rd of January, the court decided to prolong his arrest up to another 3 months, since there was no decision regarding asylum still, so he had to stay in the arrest for another 3 months. In February, the Office for Foreigners issued a negative decision regarding his asylum, so they refused to give him refugee status. And the explanation was, like, it wasn't a real explanation. They justified it by the content of those secret files, but we didn't know what was in there. They only said the decision is based on the content of the secret file, but you don't know what's there. So it's considered a violation of like Polish and international law. But like, whatever, right? Then Amir's lawyer appealed to the second instance, which is the Council for Refugees. And on April 3rd, this council upheld the negative decision. So in that case, they refused to give him, to grant him asylum. So we were waiting for the deportation case to be reopened again, because it was suspended for that period of time. On the 5th of April this year, the court in Przemysl, where he was staying in the arrest, decided to release him from the arrest, because the judge got an access to the secret file. It was the first court in the case that applied to the Internal Security Agency for an access to those secret files, and actually got that access. And the judge said that it's basically legally worthless, that it's like half a page, and it's just one opinion, probably made by the internal security agency. And he basically said that it's shit, just using legal language. And yeah, he said that there were no reasons to arrest Amir in the first place, so he was released. And I was shocked with that, and I decided to call Amir immediately to tell him about that decision. And when I called him in the arrest, the guard answered the phone as usual. I asked for Amir, and he said, "Amir is not here anymore." And I thought that he was moved to other facility because he was released from the arrest. So maybe they put him somewhere else, like in some center for refugees, whatever, for foreigners. So then I called the lawyer and I told him that Amir is not in the arrest. And the lawyer was very surprised. And he started calling all different institutions, trying to find him. And we couldn't find him for some time, for a few hours. Then it turned out that the border guards basically kidnapped him from the arrest the day that he was released from there. And they took him to the airport where they beat him up. And then they deported him to Iraq. And yeah, I would like to read the description that Amir wrote after the deportation, like one day after that, when he was still sitting in the airport in Iraq. Okay. At 5 a.m. on the 5th of April, some guard came to me and woke me up and said, "Amir, collect your stuff because you have to be moved from this place and you have 45 minutes to prepare yourself." I said, "Do I have a final decision? Really? To where? Why didn't you tell me before? I have to send my books to Kraków. It's a problem now. How can I do it now? I would send my books to Kraków. Also, I have a visit on Friday. I thought to give the books to a friend who is going to visit me on Friday." He said, "I really don't know where they are going to take you, but anyway, you have to be ready in 45 minutes. Then I was so angry and said, "This is very strange action. At least you had to inform me 2 hours before so I can prepare myself." Then I shaved my beard very quickly and collected some possible papers and documents which I could take with me. And I gave my books to my colleague George from Armenia, who lives in another room, and I asked him to try to send them to my supervisor. Then some guard was telling me, "Come on quickly, we don't have time." So I said, "Don't tell me again, no time. Didn't I tell you to tell me at least 2 hours before?" Later, three guards took me and my stuff to the special car, and then they took me by that car. After about 4 hours, they stopped in some center of border guards, and there I went to toilet to brush my teeth, etc. And I don't know for what they were waiting in that border guard center, and there were three guards and normal guys, and they allowed me to smoke. Then at about 10 a.m., three guards came from the border guards center, received me, and I asked, "Where are you taking me?" They said, "To Warsaw. It will take about 2.5 hours. After about more than 2 hours, we reached the airport of Warsaw, and the other three guards delivered me to the new six guards in the airport. When we arrived to Warsaw, it was in the Chopin airport. I knew it when I came to Poland through this airport. It was in September 2014. There was a new group that received me. I saw them when they were signing for my receiving form from the previous group. It was inside the airport. I don't know the time exactly, but it was after 12:30 p.m. Three guys had written on their clothes, 'Polish border guards,' in both languages, Polish and English. Three guys were in civil clothes. They treated me very aggressively and barbaric. I have never been treated in such a way in my life. First, they were clutching my hands from both sides hardly, and they took me to some room inside the airport. In that room, there were some metal things, and they told me, 'Leave your bag here.' And then they said, 'Listen, today we've got the decision from the court in Przemysl to deport you to Iraq,' which is a lie. And we are not border guards, but we are a team that came especially for you, okay? And if you don't apply properly to our orders, we will treat you as a dog. And one of them punched me on my left hand and said, yes, as a black dog. I said, hey, don't touch me, I'm not a dog, okay? I'm not crazy, okay? If you want me to go to Iraq, I will go myself, okay? I already want to go, but after I get the final decision. And I was so quiet and polite because I knew those guys were trying to provoke me to be nervous. One of them said, shut up and be quiet. Do you know who we are? Look into my eyes. I said, I don't care who you are. I'm very quiet from the very beginning of the day, but you cannot punch me. It's illegal. But I said, shut up, and started punching me on my face from both sides, many times and hardly again and again. Also, two other guys started to kick me from every side in my body hardly, so I couldn't see anything. I fell down, had no power even to stand up, and then they caught me and said to me, stand up, dog. You never speak, only listen. And they opened a teaser and said, look at this properly, you must apply our orders, we will shock you and roll you as a dog and deport you to Iraq. I wasn't saying anything, had no power, because they were six people and had teasers and pistols. I didn't speak anymore and they ordered me to take off all of my clothes, and after I had a little trouble with taking off some of my clothes, they punched me on my head and said again, take off your clothes. Then after I did, two of them clutched my hands and other two clutched my legs and laid me down on the ground hardly on my stomach, and the other one tramped his foot on my back and they said, doctor will give you injections, so be quiet. Then the doctor came. I'm not sure if he was a doctor or not, but he was an old man and injected me twice with unknown substance in both of my thighs. I was screaming, saying, you cowards, this is internal security agency actions. I'm alone and you are seven people. I know you injected me with a disease or toxic substance because I disclosed the actions of internal security agency, but I will tell everyone from media and my lawyer about those barbaric actions. The doctor said, those injections were anti-vomit and anti-nervousness. Then I stood up and put on my clothes and they said, those injections make you not nervous. Now, how do you feel? I said, no, I don't believe you. I know this is internal securities agency order. I'm alone in your country and you are seven people and fight one foreigner guy. Oh, how cowardly you are. Don't count yourself as men. I don't feel good. I'm sure you have gave me diseases. Then again, if you don't shut up, we don't allow you to smoke, okay? Then after I stopped talking, they allowed me to smoke and all of those six guards were standing around me while I was smoking. After that, they took me to some car and closed my eyes again, punched me on my head and said, never speak and be quiet. And the car was driving very slowly, stopping and driving inside the airport. Then, after about 2 hours, they released my eyes and took me inside the airport and they said, you will go to Baghdad, we have your tickets. First you will go to Istanbul and then to Erbil and from Erbil to Baghdad, but you must be quiet. Otherwise, we will bind your hands and legs and send you as a dog. We've told you that already. I said, I don't believe you, it's not logical, there are no flights from Istanbul to Baghdad. Anyway, where is my phone? I want to call someone to come to me to Baghdad airport because I don't have any money. They said, your phone and computer are in your bag and you will receive the bag in Erbil with ticket from Erbil to Baghdad. It was Turkish Airlines, the first flight from Warsaw to Istanbul. In Istanbul, I received my passport and boarding card, and the transit control gave me the ticket and told me, your next flight is to Erbil and there you will receive your bag because it was sent already there by our other plane. I said, where is the second ticket which is from Baghdad to Erbil? The transit control said, they didn't give it to us, only this ticket. Then I thought, maybe the third ticket to fly from Erbil to Baghdad will be received in Erbil airport. Then I took the flight from Istanbul to Erbil and I was so shocked when I arrived to Erbil International Airport at 2 a.m. on the 6th of April 2017, because I received my bag without any ticket to Baghdad. So Polish border guards cheated me and lied because they didn't buy me tickets from Erbil to Baghdad. However, I paid for those tickets because they allowed me to use my money in the bank for that. Then I couldn't get out of the airport. I was waiting inside the airport till about 1 p.m. and the batteries of both my laptop and phone were completely dead, so I couldn't use them. But then I managed to borrow a phone and contact a friend to make me closer reservation to Baghdad. At 4:30 p.m. the flight departure to Baghdad, and when I arrived to Baghdad it was 5:30 p.m. I was very tired, my body hurt me in each side. Legs, head, arms hurt me so much. Then my friend was waiting for me at the airport. He took me home by his car. I arrived to his home at about 7 p.m. Therefore, I want to complain against the border guards who punched me, and also against offensive speech which they used towards me, as well as the lie that they left me in the middle of the way without tickets from Erbil to Baghdad. As well as I want an investigation, and I'm complaining against the injections. And why? What was it? Amir Al-Hawlani. So, interesting thing about this report. Amir's lawyer shared this report with Polish media during the press conference, and after that the border guards issued a complaint against the lawyer because they claim he's not ethical because he published a statement that is not checked if it's true, and they said that he's not being objective. So yeah, border guards fighting for being ethical. Also, some woman from the head of the airport said that this report is not true because it could never happen at the shopping airport in Warsaw. Also other lies. So we didn't know why Amir, like from the legal side, why Amir was deported on the day when he was released from the arrest. Because even in the eye of Polish law, it would be illegal. Because to deport him, they would have to reopen the deportation case that was suspended and then issue the decision, provided to the lawyer, provided to his family and so on. And they basically just kidnapped him and were refusing to inform his lawyer about what was going on with him. They didn't inform anyone, and the decision is still not issued. It's been like 1.5 months from the deportation, and we still don't have the deportation decision. So we thought it was illegal what they have done, but it turns out that probably the day that Amir was released from the arrest, the head of the Internal Security Agency issued a new decision, a new request to deport him to the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Administration. And the Minister of Internal Affairs and Administration has a power to issue an immediate deportation order based on no evidence, thanks to the law that was introduced like 2 years ago, and it is called an anti-terror.
It was former summer.
Okay, so one year ago.
One year ago.
And it's called anti-terror law.
It was posts just before the youth days, like to protect them, and NATO Congress.
Like. Yeah. So thanks to this new law, now like they can basically do whatever they want without any kind of evidence. But still, there is no document of what happened, and we were asking for explanations from all of those border guards, ministry and internal security agency, and they basically said that they cannot explain anything because of the reasons of safety of Poland and so on and so on, this kind of bullshit. Also, the border guard, I guess, said that they already explained everything to the UNHCR, which is bullshit probably, and some other legal organizations, so they don't owe us any explanations. Basically, they are avoiding any explanations because they are liars, and it's not possible that they would admit that they are liars. And when it comes to the decision of the court that released Amir from the arrest, they don't even speak about that, like as if it didn't happen. So the situation now, Amir is in Iraq. He came back home to his mom. He learned that his father passed away when he was in the arrest in February. And they didn't let him even speak on the phone to him. Since the deportation was legal in the eyes of Polish law, he got the ban to enter the Schengen zone, so he will probably have to continue his studies in Iraq, which he doesn't want to stay there because the situation is shitty, right? There is war, but he will have to stay there. Also, his brother, who was studying in Germany, decided to come back to Iraq because of the situation. Like, it was very traumatic for him. His older brother, who studied in Poland as well, is still in Krakow because he's finishing his third year of PhD studies as well, and is afraid to leave his dormitory. Like, he's very traumatized and depressed. And he told me like some time ago that he needs to shave every day, because if he doesn't shave and he has a little bit of a beard, someone outside can take him for a Muslim terrorist and he can get attacked. He's also afraid of the internal security agency because they threatened that they would deport him as well. As for Amir, he is trying to start his studies in Iraq, and we are still waiting for the deportation decision. Then Amir and his lawyer want to issue a complaint to the European Court for Human Rights in Strasbourg. But it's not possible until the legal process in Poland is finished. So we have to go through every step, legal step in Poland, in order to be able to issue a complaint in Strasbourg. So it can take many years until the abuses of power by Polish authorities are made public, I guess. Based on the decision of the court that released Amir from the arrest, they want to apply for compensation for him. But yeah, we will see about that. For now, we are basically waiting. As for the claims that Amir was a potential threat to the security of Poland, the Internal Security Agency didn't even try to pretend that there is something against him, because after they arrested him, or before they arrested him, they did not even search his room. They didn't talk to his family at all, or his friends. They didn't interrogate anyone. They had access to his laptop, to his phone, and so on, and there was no kind of evidence. If they had something on him, they would probably, they should have made it public, like in other cases. For example, there is a case of another Iraqi man who was a refugee in Switzerland. He got his asylum like in Switzerland, and he came to Poland because he wanted to start a pizzeria in Poland to open. And when he was, I don't know in which situation he was arrested, but he was arrested because the Internal Security Agency claims that there was
that the police dog felt like the smell of
explosives,
yes,
on the wheel of his suitcase.
Yeah, during the youth days. Like.
The same period of time, exactly the same. So they arrested him for 10 months. During those 10 months, he lost his asylum in Switzerland because he was abroad for too long amount of time. And this, like, previous week, he was released by the court as well, released from the arrest because there was no evidence against him. So he was released, but immediately after that, because he lost his asylum in Switzerland, he was arrested at the request of border guard because they wanted to deport him because he didn't have asylum. So now he's in the facility for foreigners waiting for deportation. That will probably happen in August. Very similar case.
But like how it looked in media, it's very interesting because like Polish media are extremely like anti-Islamic and so on, and like they are totally into this spectacular logic and so on, and like they didn't have any terrorists, and the like finally when this police dog traced some like minimal amount of explosive substance, like they were totally on high because they finally got some terrorists, like, and really like all the headlines and so on, like were there that yes, like in Poland terrorists and youth days and police. Polish police is so brave because it's totally protect us and it's so on. Like with Amir, it wasn't like that because, like from the very beginning, it's they couldn't use such narrations. Yeah. So.
It was surprising to me that they didn't even try to make up any kind of evidence.
Yeah,
it was very surprising that they
research.
They didn't like nothing. Yeah. Either they were so stupid to think that everyone will believe their lies and they don't need any kind of evidence, or so arrogant, I guess, to like both of those. So arrogant, like they can make up any kind of lie.
Yeah.
They can do anything, basically.
Yeah, but media will swallow it. Like,
yeah, but Amir's lawyer says that it's the first case ever in Poland, maybe even not only in Poland, maybe even in Europe, as he told me, that the Internal Security Agency was involved, like was the source of the case, and the court decided to release the person from the arrest because of lack of evidence.
Yeah, and
so
the case was loud.
Yeah, it was very loud. And Amir said that it's basically a success for him. It was the most important thing for him to get this document that he's not guilty. So for that reason, he considers that it was. He was lucky, I guess. Yeah. I can also mention other cases that show how foreigners are currently treated in Poland. One day after Amir was deported, the border guard in other center for foreigners decided to deport a young woman with two small children to Russia, and they decided to do it at 3 a.m. like at night, without giving her any access to her lawyer, so in secret, the same thing as with Amir. So they basically kidnapped her and deported to Russia with two small children, and she was her deportation case was like still taking place. She was like still in her deportation procedure. So they basically decided by themselves to make this decision and deport her. And because of that, the guys in the other cell in the same place heard her screaming and started to like knock on the door and scream. Because they thought something was wrong, and they were beaten up by the border guards and electroshocked. And then the story that they told the media, the border guards, was that they were attacked by those guys who were Chechens. But after some time, the Polish ombudsman got an access to those recordings, to the monitoring from the cell, and it turned out that the border guards were first to attack. So another lie. Who would think?
Yeah, it's important to mention that these people were like strongly traumatized because of their experience from their own country and like with very serious health diseases and so on. So it was like even worse like after this event.
Basically, in Poland we don't have refugees. Like Poland decided not to accept any refugees. Because we are afraid. So we don't have like almost any people from the Middle East. We have like at least a million of Ukrainians, but
Money.
They...
That Polish government explained that they don't want refugees from the Middle East, that in Poland is around, they say around 1 million refugees from Ukraine.
But they are not refugees.
Are
yes.
not refugees
the Polish politicians don't see a difference between a migrant and a refugee.
Because there are migrants who came to once. There are many of them. There are young men who don't want to go to army and go to Donbass. But they came normally, legally, and work. But only 5,000 people, 5,000 people from this Ukrainians apply for the asyl, but only around
30 or 40 people
yeah.
have.
Yeah, I was just about to talk.
Well, it is 40, 50 people refugees from Ukraine.
Yeah, so there is
like
I think there is like around a million of Ukrainians and like 40 of them got asylum. So yeah. And it's very hard to get asylum in Poland, whoever you are, but like it's very difficult when you're a Ukrainian. So there is a lot of cases that families who lived in the war region and were traumatized by the war don't get asylum, and they are in danger of deportation, and there are many cases like that, and a lot of times there are children involved, children who started going to school in Poland and have been living in Poland for like 2 years, for example, know the language, the families got, like the parents got jobs in Poland, and then they were not granted asylum and are going to be deported. There were like two cases in the same time when Amir's case was taking place, of two girls like around 14-15 years old from Ukraine that were going to be deported, but their classmates were organizing demonstrations and starting petitions. And one demonstration was like mutual for Amir and for this one Ukrainian girl. And after all of those actions, it helped. And those two girls could stay in Poland. They got a permit to stay in Poland with their families. But lately there was also a case of two boys from Chechnya with their families who were also staying in Poland for some time, and they got a refusal to grant asylum, and the office who issued this decision told them they have to leave the next day or they will be deported. They have to leave in 24 hours or they will be deported. If they leave by themselves, they can come back after some time and come once again for asylum. If they don't leave, they will get deported and will never be able to come back. So one family, they were scared. So one family left by themselves. And I don't know about the other one, like I have like, no information. Like
they decided to struggle, but yeah.
Yeah, we were trying to organize something, but it was like not enough time because they got 24 hours to leave. And there is also a case of the border between Poland and Belarus. It's in Brzest Terespol, the border crossing. The most of Chechen people go through there, trying to get asylum in Poland, and legally, the border guards should give them a possibility to fill in an application for asylum and then pass it to the Office for Foreigners in Warsaw to like deal with that. But Polish border guards decided to make those decisions by themselves, and some people try to apply to the board to fill in the application form like 50 times, but the border guards just don't agree, like just don't accept those applications. So the people are stuck on the border for months, and they have no access to their lawyers because the border guards don't let them talk to their lawyers. Yeah, it's illegal, but also who cares? What else? Yeah, going back to Amir's case, there were quite a few cases like that, very, very similar. The Internal Security Agency accused those people who were mainly from the Middle East to fit the image of a terrorist. So they accused them of posing a threat to security of Poland. There is no evidence, there are no charges, the materials are secret, so like we don't have to do the job because we it's enough to say those are secret. And either they had to leave by themselves or they were deported. And for example, a case of Shakib from Morocco, exactly the same as Amir's case. It was in 2010. And I talked to his wife some time ago, and she said that to be able to complain to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, it took them 7 years.
Das war's wieder mal mit der Sendung des Anarchistischen Radios Wien. Nächstes Mal wieder einschalten, jeden Sonntag 20 Uhr auf Radio Orange oder jeden Donnerstag um 16 Uhr Radio Helsinki, freies Radio in Graz. Alle Sendungen sind zum Nachhören auf a-radio.net. Ciao, bis zum nächsten Mal.